chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm thrilled to have Roy Scott on the show today. Roy is the CEO of Healthy Hip Hop, infusing hip hop culture with innovative technology, education, and positive attributes. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Well, Roy, I am so delighted that we could make this happen. You and I was trying to think about it this morning. I want to say, was it 2017 that you and I met?
Yeah, it was 2017. Yep. Through the Missouri Technology Corporation.
Right. So I sat on that board and I was heading up the investment committee at the time. And you came in to make your pitch to MTC. And I was absolutely blown away. So you got my vote that day. And I loved what you were doing. I loved your story. It was so compelling. I still remember everything that you said about the genesis of Healthy Hip Hop. And so I am so excited for our listeners to get to hear your story. And I'm just delighted that you're making the time to be on the show.
No, for sure. I had to. And I want to actually say thank you. I know I said it before, but I want to say it again on the podcast, because you were a huge reason that we got that MTC investment. You going to bat for us. And that just was a big blessing, meant the world to us. And that was like huge at our time where we were at. That was kind of our first capital we were raising from like institutional capital. So I just really want to thank you for that.
Well, I love it. And I can't wait for our listeners to hear more. So take me back. I mean, I know your story from a point in time forward, but I don't really know your story growing up. And I know you're a Kansas City kid, but tell me about growing up for you.
Yeah. So, you know, I was that kid that grew up in urban court. I was just in love with music and I was in love with hip hop and hip hop culture. For me, I really didn't have a lot of guidance around me, and I really didn't understand the importance of education. So I kind of made some poor choices as a teen just to not focus on my education and to kind of pursue being a rap artist and pursuing being in the streets and being in the wrong crowd. So that's really where it started for me growing up, and being in love with the music and being in love with the culture. I decided, you know, I was going to be a rapper. After I graduated high school, I had a couple opportunities to play Division I basketball on a scholarship. And I pretty much just said, you know what, I'm going to throw all that in the trash can to be a rapper. And so that wasn't the best decision. But as you know, the kind of the origin story is that's when I had my wake up call, is, you know, shortly after that, having my firstborn son. And a few years later, he was around 4 years old or so. And I picked him up from school one day, and I noticed him in the backseat of my vehicle repeating my music word for word. And so, you know, those lyrics promoted drugs, violence, misogyny. And that was just my light bulb moment that I couldn't be this kind of influence on my son or anybody else. And that's when Healthy Hip Hop was born.
Mm-hmm. And that was about 2013, right?
Well, that was actually in 2009 when that happened. So around that time in 2009, going into 2010, that's when I really had, I was like, you know what? I'm giving up rap. I'm giving up music. And I'm really just going to focus on my wife and my kids and serving them, getting in my word and really getting as close to God as possible. And so when I started that journey, that's when I really committed to giving everything up and making this my top priority. And then slowly but surely, you know, God gave it back to me. He gave it back to me and said, you know, do this for the kids, do this for me. So I had this vision. I was in it, and I seen it being a global vision. just kind of got up from prayer and I've just been going ever since at bringing this vision to life and manifesting it. So start around 2010. And then, you know, from then to now, you know, it's evolved so much from live events to curriculum to now us being a full-fledged tech company.
Yes. Isn't it amazing? You surrendered the one thing. You thought, wow, justice is repeating every word. This is not good. But you surrendered that dream, but God gave you another dream. He put another dream in your heart. And, you know, probably not in a million years would you ever have thought back in high school that you would have been doing that, right?
It was quite the transition. So, you know, I was coming again. I'm coming out the streets. I'm coming from doing gangster rap to doing kids rap. So it was quite a transition, but it's been so fulfilling. And now I'm walking in my purpose. I'm walking in truth. I feel proud of what I do and what I stand for. And when I say, you know, I mean it. It's definitely a lot more fulfilling. And I know that I'm making an impact. That's, I think, the most important.
Right. You have a heart to help these kids engage with education. You know, I want to talk all about that. But, you know, you say that your drivers really are your craft. But, you know, really, it's like your faith and your family and just making a difference. Those are your drivers. And so for those out there that may have not have found their true purpose, keep searching for that. You know, when you find your true purpose, the rest of it really kind of falls into place, I think, you know.
I mean, once you find that and start walking in it, you know, just you start looking at life from a different perspective, just a lot more grateful. You're a lot more trying to be in the moment. I'm trying to be as present as possible. So I agree with that 100%.
Now you have three kids. What are their ages again? Justice is the oldest, right?
Justice is 16 now. And my daughter, she just turned 13. And my youngest son is 10. And they all kind of played a pivotal role personally and professionally, you know, with them building healthy hip hop. So it's, and they've been a part of the journey, you know, all the way. So like from the beginning. That's another very interesting part is that they get to watch it and be in it. And I'm trying to teach them, you know, entrepreneurship. I'm trying to teach them going after your goals and your dreams and making sure, of course, they're going to make mistakes, but trying to avoid some of the pitfalls that I had as far as, hey, listen, right now, make education your priority. Really making the best of your younger years and kind of building a strong foundation as a youth.
So, so good. Well, I want to get into healthy hip hop. I mean, I guess in 2018, I read that hip hop is like the number one genre as it relates to music. You know, when I was growing up, there was, I don't know, the Brady Bunch and Sesame Street and, you know, the Mickey Mouse Club, that sort of thing. But I mean, you really kind of say healthy hip hop is really kind of like the Sesame Street of the 21st century. I want you to tell our listeners a little bit about it. And I know that you've got a cute little character. It's not Mickey Mouse or Minnie Mouse, it's PJ Panda.
Yeah.
Right. That kind of leads the kids through. But tell us a little bit about healthy hip hop. What is it? How does it flesh out in the classroom? That sort of thing.
Absolutely. So our North Star, our big picture vision is to become a iconic children's brand. So that's why we say the Sesame Street of the 21st century, or we're building an urban Disney. And as you mentioned, you know, hip hop has become the most consumed genre in the world in 2018. It did surpass rock and country. The challenge is a lot of the times just the messaging isn't always healthy for children and families. But a lot of the times the beat, kids love the beat. They love the rhythm, the melodies. And so my whole mission has been, how come we can't take that same energy vibe and the culture, but use it for something, you know, more positive to uplift our kids? So when I first started Healthy Hip Hop, it was taking the urban hip hop beat that kids love and their parents love and then just putting a positive message over it. And that's really was our value proposition to start, because a lot of times when you think about kids' music, it can be a little bit watered down. Like ours sounded relevant to what they were hearing on the radio. And so that's how it started. And then it evolved into us doing a lot of live events. So we were going into schools. We started partnering with foundations, the LeBron James Family Foundation. We did stuff with MLB, NFL. Our performances kind of kept going up. We had did over 1,500 live events in the last 5 years, reaching over 100,000 plus children. But again, to become this iconic children's brand, we knew we had to diversify. So we're like, okay, we're going to create children's television property. You know, we're going to create curriculum, et cetera. And it was kind of started down that path. And then we made the pivot to become a tech company. I was paying attention to what was going on in every industry. Whoever was developing the innovative technology, creating that software, they were the ones a lot of the times that were, you know, making the most impact and making the most revenue. And so we made the pivot to a tech company and did our research and seeing where we were most impactful. And that's where teachers were using healthy hip hop in the classroom to start their day for like morning energizers. They would use it throughout the school day for brain breaks. So it was more about physical activity. But then we also started creating music that would support their curriculum. So that's how we use in the classroom setting. And for parents, it was more about the music and how they would, we would create these family experiences, whether it was through dance or, you know, car rides, you know, taking family vacations, et cetera. And that inspired us to create the mobile application. So in the app, we're calling it like a Spotify meets TikTok, but in a curated environment for children and families. So you can stream exclusive music through our app like Spotify, but then you can take it further with the engagement where you can create these kind of TikTok style videos. And that can all be shared in our Safe Circle environment. So now educators, parents, and teachers can, you know, communicate and share their fun dance challenges, the fun, you know, raps they're creating around these educational themes, but in a secure network for kids and families. And that's kind of the basis of the technology and why this is so important, because kids love, you know, hip hop, the music and the culture. But we just want to provide a positive alternative that's going to uplift kids.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know if I told you this, Roy, but, you know, our youngest daughter, Allie, has Down syndrome, and she went to a wonderful school, graduated from Promise Christian Academy in St. Louis. There is science that says that the body has to get in line with the brain to work. And so every morning at Promise, they would do some sort of sensory integration. So they would jump on trampolines, they would ride scooters, you know, they would do an infinity walk, something every morning to get the body ready to learn. But then also, I do know what you learn in music, you retain.
Absolutely.
And I told you that I learned the Gettysburg Address. I don't remember. I think it was maybe fifth grade. But I still remember 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent. I mean, I learned the Gettysburg Address through music, and I still remember it today. So, and I know I've got other friends that learned the presidents through music. Mm-hmm. Can you think of one example of something that a child needs to learn subject-wise that you guys have curated?
So one of the big things now is financial literacy. In hip-hop culture, like, they always have like these certain like phrases or different things that are kind of become catchy. So one has been called run up a check. And so run up a check means like go, you know, and earn some money, right? We're saying run up a check and save it. And we're talking about different ways that you can save money, invest money to reach kids as early as possible. If you think about schooling also, like traditionally, a lot of this methods are really antiquated. We're still using stuff from 1920s in 2020. And so we want to find a way to innovate and bring in some new topics that maybe typically wouldn't be brought in the school setting, but that now a lot of teachers are incorporating. So Run Up a Check and Save It is one. And it's a whole song with PJ Panda breaks down like how you can make money even over the summer if it's, you know, going and mowing lawns, or if it's, you know, shoveling snow, or different ways that you can kind of apply early stages of entrepreneurship. And also to piggyback on what you were saying in regards to how you were able to retain the information, obviously the studies prove that music, it improves retention, but also music impacts mood and behavior. And so that's why it's really important, you know, for kids to, we want to get them up, get them excited, you know, through the beat, but then use that positive message that's going to, you know, invoke positive thoughts and positive attitude.
Yeah, it's multidimensional. I absolutely love it. Well, I tell you what, we need to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with Roy Scott.
Let's face it, the future is mobile. There's a good chance that you are listening to this show right now on your phone. Have you explored how you can move your business mobile too? Our mobile apps team at Technology Partners makes it their mission to move our clients into the hands of their employees and customers and change their business processes to meet the demands of their users. Let's work together and build a dynamic mobile app for your team. Go to tpi.co/mobile apps and get the conversation started about how we can help you get your new application off the ground.
Welcome back, everyone. So, Roy, has this entrepreneurial journey been smooth sailing the whole time?
Well, I mean, that's the interesting thing, because usually, you know, when people kind of present entrepreneurship, it's like, you know, roses and rainbows, right? But it's actually really challenging. So you have to make a lot of pivots. You're going to hit a lot of pitfalls. And kind of what we were talking about, too, one of our biggest lessons and heartbreaks was from Shark Tank. So we had pitched on season 7 of Shark Tank and successfully closed the deal with Kevin O'Leary, a.k.a. Mr. Wonderful, one of the hardest sharks to close. It was a $500,000 investment. And only to have our episode blocked from airing and our deal pulled off the table, you know, due to the Hollywood politics. So ABC, the network that Shark Tank comes on, is owned by Disney. And they looked at our children's programming as competition. So welcome to Hollywood is what we were told. And, you know, ironically enough, Walt Disney is from my hometown of Kansas City. Some more of the backstory. You know, when I first got that news, you know, I was depressed. I didn't get off my couch for probably about a week. And I was thumbing through Netflix and I seen this movie called Walt Before Mickey. And it talked about Walt Disney's entrepreneurial journey. And he had similar moments where he had really got some traction, got close and got rejected. And then ended up moving from KC to LA to build Disney what it is today. But he made a really profound statement that stuck with me. He said, "You never know what you're made of until you respond to getting kicked in the teeth." And I was like, wow. I was like, we just got Mickey's big yellow boot right in the grill. Right. So so again, going through that, you know, talking about mountain high to valley low, because we knew more important than even the deal, it was the national exposure. At that time, they were averaging about 7 million viewers on the show. So we're going to have 7 million new viewers on our business. This was going to essentially break us. So it goes from, you know, okay, we're about to be all the way on to basically being slam dunked in the trash can. And so, you know, after that, it was like a test of faith and of resilience. And like, you know, I knew I had to walk this mission out, but I was like, you know, what is the next step for us? How are we going to build a successful and scalable business? And I think really what that ultimately showed us is we really didn't have a strong business model. We had something special in what we were doing, but the business model wasn't there. That forced me to get into all the entrepreneurial resources that Kansas City had to offer. We secured over $100,000 in non-dilutive grants to develop and test our technology. That was also at the time we made the pivot to the tech. So we were no longer focused as much on the live events, more focused on this online platform. Because now with the online platform and the mobile application, we can be in thousands of schools at once versus being, you know, just one at a time. So made the pivot to the tech. Developed and tested the MVP. And that was around the time that we connected. I started raising some capital, was able to get some buy-in after we build up and get some traction, because just in all honesty, Healthy Hip Hop is like not your typical Midwest investment. You know, we're a startup tech company with a strong hip hop focus. Typically, you know, in the Midwest, you're looking at, I know FinTech's a thing, big thing now, but FinTech's been around agriculture. Healthy Hip Hop was not.
It was kind of a little outlier.
Exactly. And so that's why I was saying that's another reason I just want to continue to thank you, because the MTC deal, that was gigantic for us because that was our first institutional money. And you were a huge advocate for that. That really was like they trusted you, and that was just groundbreaking for us. And so now, and then that kind of led to us into raising more capital and growing the business, and then going from that to coming to St. Louis also for the Arch Grants. And
that's right. You won an Arch Grant.
When we first connected and how much love you showed, I was like, man, you know, this is from St. Louis too. Like, so I had been to St. Louis multiple times, but I wasn't aware of like the entrepreneurial ecosystem in the community. And so just you stepping out for us like that, and then us getting into Arch Grants and really seeing just how impactful Arch Grants has been in us, how, you know, much the entrepreneurial ecosystem in St. Louis is thriving. It has been just such a blessing to us and propelled us forward.
And you've gone on to get into the Techstars Accelerator in Atlanta. There's a lot of people now that are really seeing the possibility and the value
absolutely
in what you're doing. And I know you just won a huge contract just recently in Dallas.
Yeah.
Second largest school system in Dallas.
Yeah, that was our biggest contract today. We've been working on that for about the last year and a half. Finally got that one to go through. And that was big for us because Texas, you know, they kind of operate, they're their own country, you know, and so
that's right.
And also, like, once you get in with one, it's kind of a domino effect. And so I had been going to this conference, which I'm going to again this year. They actually opened it back up this year. It's called the Sea Summit in South Padre Island. And I usually take my family too, we make like a family vacation, and then I work the conference. But have been building some strong relationships there, and was fortunate enough, to get this bid, which is really is our biggest bid to date. So, yeah.
You're going to be able to reach 80,000 students, I think.
Absolutely.
Well, congratulations. Just keep going. And I just think about you. No entrepreneurial journey is always smooth sailing. You know, there's going to be bends in the road. There are going to be obstacles. There's going to be things that come up. But, you know, I think about you, Roy, and here is what I see in you. You have a very strong belief in what you're doing, not letting those things, and they may get you down for a day or two.
Yeah.
We're human, right? I like to win as much as anyone. And I'm telling you, when we don't win, I get down.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to lie about that, but you give yourself a little grace, you wallow just a little bit, but boy, then you got to get back up on your feet and you got to keep going if you believe in what you're doing. So I know 2020 has been so, so hard, but for you, it was kind of like a blessing in disguise a little bit, right?
Absolutely.
Cause you to pivot more to the B to C because kids are being homeschooled.
So it was like a back-to-back. So we had started the Arts Grants programming the end of 2019, getting prepared to go into 2020. And at that same time, just a little bit after getting accepted to Arts Grants, we had got accepted into the TechStars Accelerator in Atlanta. And so, you know, I communicated with the Arts Grants team. They were completely supportive of that because that was going to be a 3-month accelerator in Atlanta. And so anyway, started that in around the end of January. And we were going for about a month and a half, really picking up steam. And then bam, you know, mid-program, COVID hits. And so program got pushed virtual and then the whole world got pushed virtual. And just like, it was a wake-up moment. Okay, now we had been so deep in focusing on the B2B side of things. But at that time, like you said, most of our kids were homeschooled. Then also schools that froze their budgets, corporate partners who we were working with, everybody just froze because they didn't know. They had to kind of see how things were going to develop.
Didn't know what was going on. Right.
Exactly. And so that did make us focus. So, and we had already had that in the back of our minds, like, listen, we want to have an offering that goes directly to a parent who sees Healthy Hip Hop, loves the mission, loves the technology, loves the content, and they can just pay to have it direct access to all of our library. And so we've been having that, but we really focused in and on the B2B. But that made us focus on the B2C side. Our app had just launched. And so it was a blessing in disguise because organically we had grown to over 6,000 users on the app. We also seen an uptick as far as the users on the website as well, the virtual learning settings. So we did see some of that growth and we were able to get a lot of data and feedback to really prepare for a full launch. Because even though we're live, we're still considering what we have right now, a public beta. Really, I think it made me focus on what really mattered. And so at the time, I was traveling back and forth. And so I was going from KC, St. Louis, Atlanta. I was kind of, that was my trifecta I was making. But then when everything went virtual, it basically pushed me back home, like pushed me back in KC to work remote from KC. At that time, spiritually also, I was just like, I was trying to really figure out where God wanted me. I'm like, I was praying because something just felt a little off. And he was pointing to my wife. He was like, you know, really focus on her. And this is where I'm at and be here, be present with her and serve her. That's what I really locked in on. You know, of course, as you're building a business, it can consume you. So I was just reprioritizing that as well. Like, you know what? I need to make sure my wife is the top priority here.
Sure.
My wife, my children, then, you know, my business. And so the personal side was more focused on my wife, and on the professional side, pivoting from focusing on the B2B to the direct to consumer offering.
Got
to
keep those priorities straight.
Absolutely.
But as an entrepreneur, they can get a little messed up sometimes,
yeah.
You know, because I can honestly say there's not one day that I've come into the business and go, wow, I'm so bored. There's nothing to do. There's always more to do than you have hours to do it. So Roy, this is called Something Extra. What do you believe is the something extra every leader needs?
I think something extra every leader needs is almost blind, like faith, or just like you said, kind of like belief that you were talking about. It's just something that you just have to believe is even when everybody else doesn't, or even you have to kind of, even when you see that vision, you have to stick to the course to really see that vision come through. So I would say almost like just that unstoppable faith and belief in yourself and in your vision and your dream.
Yeah. The vision, the mission. Very good. Very good. Well, I want to give you the opportunity. I'm so excited about this. I want to give you the opportunity to talk about what you're doing with Republic.
For sure.
And tell our listeners about this. I'm so excited about this, Roy, because you don't have to be a serial investor to get involved in this, right? I know everything closes in August. So tell our listeners, in case there's somebody out there that says, you know what? I love this idea. I want to help Roy go to that next level.
Well, it started in about 2016. It's about 5 years old. It's called Reg CF. So that's short for regulated crowdfunding. And so essentially it's crowdfunding, but the difference is this is specifically for like startup companies and individuals who participate. Your contribution or your investment translates to having stock in early stage tech companies. Like you said, it empowers anyone to become an investor, like an angel or a retail investor. And so I thought this was very important. couple of reasons. One is, as I've been learning the VC world, the venture capital world, out here raising capital, you know, pitching, working with angels, et cetera. It's a whole world that I just didn't know existed that I've been learning and trying to share with peers, my friends, family, anybody who's interested in listening. Like, there's alternative ways to raise capital to start your business or to, you know, grow your business. This actually kind of opens up to anybody. So listen, now you don't, like you say, you don't have to be a serial investor. You don't have to be accredited. You don't have to have a certain net worth. Like, you can start investing at $100, you know, and $100 is going to translate into, you know, a small equity stake in the company. And so essentially now we get to create like a grassroots team of people who believe in it, but now are now not only investors in it and can even, you know, be a user of the platform as well. And so basically just empowering everyday people to become investors. So that's why I thought it was kind of a really cool opportunity. It's just now starting to trend. So we're raising $1 million, $1.07 million, but now on these regulated crowdfunding platforms, you can raise up to $5 million. So our campaign is open right now. Yeah. So
how would people get involved? Where would they go? And again, the minimum denomination is $100, right? So with $100, you can get started.
Yeah. To have a small equity stake. And so you would go to just republic.co/healthy-hip-hop. Or if you could just Google, you know, Republic at Healthy Hip Hop, it'll pop up. And so that's where you go. It's a pretty easy process. You just click right through, say, I want to invest, and then just put your information in and then you're in there. And so that's how you would do it. It's also on any of our social media. You'll find on our profile as well.
Very good. Well, this has been so much fun for me, but I would be so remiss if I did not ask you to showcase your skills here. And, you know, there's one that I'd ask you, hey, would you feel comfortable doing this one? I want you to tell the backstory on it, but you've got one out there, Chop It Up. I know you've got a couple renditions and some of them have like 200 million views. I mean, it's crazy. So tell our listeners and then do just a little bit of it, a couple stanzas, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. And that's 200,000. I wish it was 200 million. But
oh, 200 million. Hey, you'll get there. You'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there, right? Exactly. So Chop It Up, really, it's kind of crazy that you asked about the backstory too, because that kind of ties into what we were talking about earlier. So when I was doing kind of my street rap thing, I started a group and the group was called Chop It Up. It was like the Chop It Up click. And so people from Kansas City who know and know my history, they knew that. So basically I kind of spun it forward into something positive. So now it's like Chop It Up, but we're just talking about, you know, kind of an old tradition for Kansas City Chiefs fans is to do like the chop. And the reason also, in all transparency, the reason why we're calling it Chop It Up, because before we were calling it the Tomahawk Chop, but we were seeing that was offensive to some Native Americans. So we stopped calling it the Tomahawk Chop. And so we're just calling it Chop It Up now. Right. But yeah, so it's kind of a tradition for Kansas City Chiefs fans. I've always been a lifelong Chiefs fan. Now that we got Mahomes, like, this is a game changer for us. You know, we got the best quarterback in the league. This is the first time ever. But always been a Chiefs fan. Wasn't able to afford to start going to the games until probably like 2013. And that's when I went, got to experience the tailgate, just kind of had that family experience. And then I just spun up a song about it for the fun and love of it and ended up picking up some steam.
Well, sing it for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's just Chop It Up. And it kind of just, that's the hook. But then I talk about the song. So I'm saying KC is the best place to tailgate, barbecue in the air, and it smells great. Posted up over in Lot J, pre-game toast with the Jose. So that's kind of actually breaking down like what we do. So they have different lots. And so Lot J is kind of who has embraced me as like an ambassador for Lot J.
Yeah. Okay.
And so they do like a pregame toast every time with the Jose. So even though it's healthy hip hop, but you know, they do a little pregame toast with the Jose Cuervo.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Very good. Well, hey, listen, Roy, this is the most fun thing I'm going to do all day. So thank you so much for being on the show and just best of luck to you. I love what you're doing. And I just hope that a lot of listeners get excited about it and, possibly go to republic.co and help you raise that $1 million that you're trying to raise.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you having me. This has been a blast. And like you said, they can also just download the app too. If you don't want to invest, you can still download the app and kind of just listen to some of the music. The music is top tier, but just want to continue to thank you, Lisa. Like, the reason we're here right now is and you're a big part of that. And that's just 100% honesty. And so when I seen the opportunity to do this Something Extra podcast, I was like, count me in.
Well, very good. Well, thanks again. And we'll be talking, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.